I have to tell you, I do have my counseling hat on in asking you this question. How do you suggest that those who acquire academic, well, go through that whole process of academic success in having step letters, how do you suggest that, or what do you suggest that they, oh, this is a complicated question. Let me make a statement. I personally believe that if a surgeon is going to do surgery, there are certain gymnastics academically that they should go through. Mm-hmm. I believe that if any healthcare practitioner is going to work on me or is going to be successful in their field, then they should have every level of expertise there is to be able to be considered highly skilled, highly professional in their field. So, laying that aside, do you think then professors should maybe have a BA degree in nursing and then can go off and get a communications degree, any other kind of degree, and yet teach nursing with, number one, preparing Masters of Science nursing students as well as those who kind of go on for their PhDs?
Some excellent, Madam Chair, Senator Carter, some excellent questions. I would not suggest that it would be appropriate for someone to get their BSN in nursing and go off and get a degree in communications or art history or something like that and then be able to be a nursing professor. But there are several related management degrees, health-related degrees, public health and whatnot, that I think would be very appropriate. Let me draw an analogy, and it's too bad our physician has left. But in medical school, all the professors are not physicians. You may have physiologists, you may have lawyers, you may have a mix of people that come together in to have a diversity that makes the education stronger. To just limit it to people who have just jumped through one little hoop, I think is counterproductive. And I think it's appropriate to have a larger pool of experienced, broader-minded people in the education. I think the quality of the education would be better. Now, to answer your last question, would you want to have someone who did not have an MSN teaching and graduate program? That's where I would say no. I think if you're going on to graduate education, someone teaching an MSN should have at least an MSN.
Okay.
And PhD, the same thing. But I'm talking about entry to practice.
Okay, just a follow-up. So how do you think the economics of any profession should be guarded? If there is an allotment of people from other areas, number one, can you kind of hold that one? But number two, are you then saying that there are different components in the nursing profession where the core value piece should be taught by those at MSNs, but if an ethics class is required in nursing or something of that nature, you're saying an MSN is not necessary?
That's Madam Chair, Senator Carter, you summarized it much better than I did. That's exactly what I'm saying. Just if I can expand on one other issue that I heard was sensitive to this committee, and that is the issue of diversity among the pool of nurses itself. And I would just propose to this group that the bottleneck that we're having now, and largely I believe because of the MSN issue, the bottleneck issue has ramifications on diversity. If you have 100 slots in a nursing school and 500 applicants, I think it's just a historical fact that minorities tend to be disadvantaged by that kind of situation. Where if you have 300 openings and 500 applicants, the minorities are much less disadvantaged in that. And so I think that by having more nursing education programs, and the community colleges are caught. They are ready to roll if they can get the faculty. If you have more class openings available, I think that you'll see part of that diversity issue sort of take care of itself.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you, Winnie. Oh,
well,
Senator Gordley.
And I know we're running out of time. I just wasn't clear, Madam Chair, on what your point was, sir, in telling us the story about the nurse who was disciplined for saying, quote, bad words, even though no patient heard the words. I'm not sure what the point was.
My point on that was that the board spent an awful lot of money holding a contested case hearing, and it's now in the Court of Appeals where they're spending an awful lot of money over revoking a nurse for allegedly filing a request for hearing one day late. And that was after we already had a hearing. That was just the factual scenario for that. My point is that I think the Board of Nursing is spending some of the money that it gets very, very badly. And in the disciplinary area, that comes to mind. I could go on, but we have fingernail clipping case right now. I mean, for real. We have a number of cases that are just too absurd for words that should never have come to contested case that money should have never been spent on.
Thank you.
Joan, you want to come forward to offer some first on the issue of the Master of Science Nursing to enlighten us?
Chair Winters, it's true that is the current rule in the board. That was done after extensive task force meetings with the nursing education community, and the nursing education community at the time that the rule was adopted supported that. There was a minority that said no, that they felt that it should be open to masters in other health-related areas, but the majority of the nursing education community felt that that was necessary, so the board adopted it as a result of extensive input from a task force.
Is it accurate that that is a bottleneck to the faculty issue in our community colleges and others?
Chair Winters, probably there are some situations where we have had to turn a faculty member away because they did not have the Master of Science in Nursing. However, I do not agree with Mr. Harold in saying that that is the primary bottleneck to getting faculty. I think the major reason we don't have enough faculty is just because there are not enough nurses who go into nursing education because the pay there is much lower in nursing education programs than they can make as clinical nurses in hospitals, etc. So it might be a minor factor in a couple of cases, but it certainly is not the primary factor, the bottleneck of nursing faculty.
Do you have or know how many that are Master Science nurses? And but I want to say the right terminology so I don't get fined again. the registered nurse class. What universe are we talking about, and what is our need?
Chair Winters, I don't know. I would say that. And
you don't have to give it to me today.
Okay, can I? I will get back with you on that.
And get that information to me.
I will.
One, you know, what is the need, and what actually do we have available? Because then that, I think, would be the guide with which to look at, particularly as we talk about nursing shortage issues and, you know, the community colleges. Some of them have raised the very same issue that we could open up. We could have more students, but we don't have the faculty. So if you would provide that for us, it would be greatly appreciated.
Chair Winters, I will. We do have that. We do have that data, so I will give that to you.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Senator Carter.
Thank you. John, is it true that in outside of your core course requirement, if you're teaching ethics and other courses related to that, you still have to have a Master's of Science in order to do that?
Chair Winters and Senator Carter, a lot of the nursing education programs have allied health people teaching in their programs, like a nutritionist, for example, and they don't have to have a master's of nursing. You know, they have their own degree in their own field, and they come in and teach in the nursing programs. But no, in order to come in and teach and do lectures in the School of Nursing, they don't have to have their degree. They have their own degree in their own profession.
But in order to be a part of
follow up.
But in order to be a part of the faculty, now we're talking about faculty, FTEs in that department, in order to be accepted as a faculty, as a professor on the in the faculty, on the faculty, that they have to have an MSN degree?
Yes, I believe that's true, Senator Carter.
$1.
Hey, gotcha.
$1.
Thank you, Joan. Okay. Thank you very much. Joan owns a dollar too.
I own several.
She owns several. We're feeding children today.
Now, if you guarantee no phone calls in Medford for me, I'll pay your fine today.
Oh, okay. I can't guarantee that. I know.
Well, thank you. And I know that Brian, the last minute, is waiting to talk to us.
Madam Chair,
good afternoon, Brian.
I had several things that I was going to talk to you about, but in light of the very short time, I will reserve an opportunity to answer questions when you get the work session. The one thing that I did feel a need to clarify, however, was the last issue that's being discussed about nursing educators. And the Oregon Nurses Association obviously is very concerned about the ability to generate enough nurse educators in order to open up enough slots in the variety of different settings that we have. But the one clarification that started to come out, but I didn't think it fully developed right at the end, was that in a lot of cases what you're talking about is a professor that may be teaching multidisciplinary folks. So it may be somebody that's teaching the pharmacology class that is not a nurse, but is teaching a nurse, a pharmacist, and a doctor side by side. Well, they are not a master in nursing. They are a professor in pharmacology that's teaching multiple disciplinary students. So if you have in your mind that the concept that the only people that are teaching nursing students can be masters of nursing, that is a false impression. We're talking about the actual faculty of the School of Nursing being masters of nursing. That's probably a more accurate. But nurses take class coursework in their process to become a nurse that is taught by non-nursing faculty. And with that, I'll end. I had a whole bunch of stuff on nursing shortage and minorities and a whole variety of other things, but I'll save that.
Brian, we appreciate your brevity, and we know that you will provide additional input into this body as we go along through this process.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And
if there's no other,
that's it. We are adjourned. I will see you tomorrow at 1:00. No.